This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Chance Hayes, Warning Coordination Meteorologist, National Weather Service in Wichita. Welcome to Issues 2018. I got to tell you, Chance, that's quite a title. It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
What does it mean?
Just call me the person full of hot air.
There you go.
I'm the public relations person for the Weather Service.
All right.
How about that?
Give us an idea of the scope of the National Weather Service operation in Kansas. In other words, how many regional stations do you call them, like the one we have in Wichita? Is it?
Yeah, well, we've got one regional office, and that's actually located in Kansas City up by the airport.
Okay.
And then here in Kansas, we actually have 4 offices that reside within the state of Kansas. We've got one at Dodge City, Goodland, Topeka, and then, of course, here in Wichita. But we also have 3 periphery offices. Hastings, Nebraska will serve parts of north central Kansas. Pleasant Hill, Missouri, which is southeast of Kansas City, will serve the KC metro area.
Yeah.
And then Springfield, Missouri will do a few counties in southeast Kansas. So a total of 7 Weather Service offices serve Kansas.
That one in southeast, that's had some weather over the years.
They've had some weather over the years.
Places like
that. Oh, absolutely. You know, the one that most folks go back to is the Joplin tornado.
Yeah.
Several years ago.
Okay, let's talk about the Wichita office then. How many meteorologists are on duty out there at a given time?
At a given time, we generally have to have at least 2 people on duty at all time. We have 10 meteorologists that go through the rotation. Then we have another 3 meteorologists in training that are ready to assume the position as a regular forecaster at a moment's notice. And in fact, we rotate them through just like regular meteorologists. So that gives you 13 right there. And then we have my position, the warning coordination meteorologist. We have a science operation officer who's also a meteorologist. We have a hydrologist that deals with water, which is a meteorologist. We have a meteorologist in charge, which is over the whole building. So basically, meteorologists run meteorologists.
Well, and if it's something crucial, then it's all hands on deck, right?
It is. You know,
I mean, probably times when you got almost everybody in there.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, when you have a big severe weather outbreak, we may have 8 to 9 different folks out there on the operations floor handling a severe weather event.
Talk a little bit about the forecasting technology available to your people. It's changed over the years.
Oh, my goodness. It's changed with light speed, you know, from a meteorology standpoint. For some folks, it may be a little bit slower because, you know, they always say the government works slow. But when you look at the National Weather Service and the way things have changed, it's amazing, you know, and just some of the newer technology. We've got the new Doppler radar back in the 90s. They continue to enhance that. It seems like every year we get new builds and you know, finer detail and resolution. And one of the newest technologies that we're utilizing is called GO-16 satellite data. And, you know, we used to be able to tell where the clouds were, but it was kind of deciphering, making it a little bit difficult. But today, we can get that new satellite data every minute. And what's really cool is we have such great resolution. We can see features of the storms that we really weren't able to see before. So it helps us to understand the severity. when these things are increasing in intensity, decreasing in intensity, which hopefully will give us earlier warning times to help folks get to shelter. But another new thing that we're really tinkering with here of late is what we call hotspot notification. So we're getting ready to get into wildfire season. It has the ability to detect where fires first start. And sometimes we're able to see that fire begin before the call comes in to 911.
Wow.
Yeah.
And with the history we've had the past couple of years.
No doubt.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a ton of wildfires here around the Wichita Metro. And then you go over into Barber and Kiowa and Comanche counties. Those have been huge.
You look at that and you say, well, that's a firefighter's thing. But, you know, it's caused by the dadgum dry weather.
Very well. Yeah, that grass just cures out. And, I mean, it's just ready to take off. But we supply a lot of those folks with their weather information because knowing how much moisture is in the air and is important to them. But more importantly are winds. Mm-hmm. You know, how strong are the winds? Is there going to be a wind shift? Because they can get caught off guard, and we don't want them to be out of position.
Right. Well, assess for a minute, I think you already have, but the impact of computer technology on weather forecasting in just the past few years. It's just grown
huge. It's grown immensely. Yeah. You know, one of the things I tell folks is when I first got into the National Weather Service, which, you know, the radar was old technology, the office was at a different building, I would actually trace over the storms on the radar plotter. Then fax that information over to the weather office. They would look at it, determine a warning needed to be issued. Then they would bang away on the old computers. And it could be 10 to 15 minutes sometimes before a warning was issued. Mm. Today, you know, we're so quick, we can get a warning out to the public in 30 seconds or less.
Wow.
And when you think about 15 minutes to 30 seconds with a tornado, that right there is an immense amount of lead time.
Life and death.
What was that?
Could be life and death.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So much of your job, Chance, is education. And Severe Weather Awareness Week is coming up. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Okay? You bet. You know, we have several different weather awareness weeks across the country. You know, we have some nationally. We have some locally. We just want folks to understand the basics of what they need to do to stay safe. You know, I'm a very simple person. And I like to keep things easy for people to understand. So, you know, we talk about how to get weather information. Could it be through a weather radio? Could it be wireless emergency alerts or the EAS system? Most people still rely on the sirens. And we're trying to educate them, say, you know, sirens are for outdoors only. Don't expect to hear it inside. But one of the things I just like to tell folks is as soon as you hear thunder, you need to go inside. Because you're already at risk for lightning. And then once you go inside, listen to the radio. Listen to the television. Look at your phone to understand what the magnitude of that storm is and whether or not you're okay sitting there continuing to watch the baseball game or The Bachelor, or if you wanted to go downstairs into the basement because it's going to be a severe storm. But we're just trying to highlight some of the basics that folks need to understand and follow when the weather conditions warrant that.
Are you talking right now about the series of seminars you put on called Storm Fury of the Plains?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's get into that a little bit. Because how many of those do you do every year?
Well, the Wichita office will usually do about 33 presentations a year. Well, what's nice, though, is we have a partnership with some of our emergency management partners, just like Cody Charvon here in Sedgwick County and Jim Schmidt and Kerry Quarles and Butler and Brian and John down in Cali. I share the exact same presentation that I give with them so that they can hit the individual communities. I do the regular county talk where we'll have sometimes up to 300 or 400 folks come out and have a wonderful 2 hours of entertaining presentations with us. But then they will take the presentation into the local communities like Derby and Mulvane and Colwich for folks that aren't able to make it to the bigger presentation.
Now, how many did you say, 33?
We give about 33. They last for 2 hours, and they're free. You know, a lot of folks think that they have to pay a cover charge. Well, that's not the case. We're there to educate and to have fun. You know, I look at it this way. If I'm asking somebody to sit in a chair for 2 hours to listen to me gab a little bit about the weather, I have to make it entertaining. So we do a lot of hardcore education. But we also try and entertain them so that they enjoy the presentation. And most folks, they've been coming back for years and years.
Now, who can attend these?
Public. It's open.
As long as they hear about it somewhere media or whatever.
It used to be storm spotter training. Now it's storm fury on the plains, weather identification and safety. I want folks to come to the presentation. If they don't want to be a spotter, that's fine. I want them to be able to recognize cloud features when they're traveling. Say they've got to go to a ball game up in Salina, or they're going down to Oklahoma City to follow the Shockers or something, or they're going to visit relatives. I just want them to say, you know, I remember that feature in that storm from the presentation Chance gave. He said that was bad. We're not going to drive into it. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I wanted to look up from another source the schedule, and I found it pretty easily. Mm-hmm. What's your web page? What do you like to promote?
It's real simple. They can just go to weather.gov.
Weather.gov.
Holy and then smokes, a map will open up, and then they just click on the area of interest. So if they click here in South Central Kansas, it'll automatically direct them to our web page. Now, if they're traveling, so they're going to Chicago for the weekend, they can click on the Chicago area, and it'll take them automatically to that office.
Well, that's handy. How many people actually attend these presentations?
My goal every year is to have an average attendance of 100 folks per presentation. You know, some of the smaller counties are going to be somewhere around 25 to 40. Some of the larger counties are going to have 300 to 400. One of the neat ones that we give is down in Cali County. They open up the theater.
You know, that's weather country down there.
It is, but they figure, you know, Tuesday night, I may have 8 people in the seats to watch a movie.
Now, Cali, is that in Winfield?
It's at Strother Field, which is in between Arc City and Winfield.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say, you know, but if you can put 300 bodies in that theater on a Tuesday, they're making money with popcorn and soda pop.
Okay.
So we do a lot of presentations like that in old theaters. Here we're going to be, I believe, at Central Community Church, which is kind of a neat venue also because they got 3 huge screens up there. It's a lot of fun.
You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Chance Hayes, who is the Warning Coordination Meteorologist, National Weather Service here in Wichita. You know, and Chance, when we mention spring and summer severe weather, the first thing most folks think of is tornadoes.
Tornadoes, yep.
Describe for me, if you will, the tornado threats to any individual in Kansas, the actual threat.
Well, the threat is there 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can't have tornadoes any time of the day, any day of the year. You know, to be honest with you, the threat itself could be minimized significantly as long as they follow the safety rules. They've been taught all their lives, you know, tornado warnings issued, go to the basement. If you don't have a basement, go to a center room in your home, be it a hall, closet, or bathroom, and seek shelter there. If they follow those rules, generally they're going to be safe. Mm-hmm. You know, only your stronger EF4, EF5 tornadoes will have the capability to produce the significant number of injuries that folks may be encounter, but those are very rare. I think the last EF5 tornado we had was Greensburg, which was several years ago. I think it was over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Hoisington was an EF4 prior to that.
I wanted to backtrack for just a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
You talk about Greensburg.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget what I read about the track of that tornado. It was, 2 miles wide?
I believe it was 1 3/4 of a mile wide, yes.
It would take me, and I'm a runner, it would take me to run across there, I don't know, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
To run across the path.
I know, and that's what most folks don't understand. You know, I live in a small town. And so when I go talk to these folks, especially in the rural parts of Kansas, I'd say, put that into perspective. If you go from when you pull into town on the west side and then you exit on the east side, how wide is that? And most of the folks say, well, that's about a mile and a half, 2 miles. I say, okay, this tornado would wipe out your whole town then.
They were lucky there was anything left at all.
But people just, they don't visualize that and they don't realize that could happen.
Now, I want you to share some numbers with us, Chance. How many tornadoes spotted in Kansas and how does that compare to recent years?
Well, last year we had 60 tornadoes in the state of Kansas, which is quite low compared to where we've been recently. You know, being a meteorologist, we love numbers. The official average goes all the way back to 1950, and that's 62 a year. So we were even below that average. But if you look at the last 10 years, the average is 94 tornadoes a year. So we were well below average last year. I think the strongest tornado we had was an EF3 tornado up just outside of Great Bend in Barton County.
Well, but tell us about the tornado fatalities last year, injuries, damage, anything on that?
We didn't have any fatalities.
No fatals last year.
And it's been quite a while since we've had any fatalities. But the number of injuries, I think there may have been just a few with that tornado that hit up in Barton County. I think two was it. So that tells me something. You know, when you have all these tornadoes, they cause the destruction that they do, but yet the low number of fatalities, which virtually zero every year, and the extremely low number of injuries tells me the people in Kansas get it. And so they understand when the weather's bad, they go to shelter. And, you know, I don't take credit for that, to be honest with you. I think the Weather Enterprise should take credit for that. And what is the Weather Enterprise? It includes the National Weather Service, but it also includes the media, you know, the radio stations, because what are you all doing? You're telling people where the storms are, where they're moving, and what they need to do when the storm approaches. You're helping us. Television does the same thing. I think we're spoiled, and I tell people that all the time.
How do we do here compared to other states?
My gosh, you guys are fantastic. You know, Oklahoma's similar. But you get outside of Oklahoma and Kansas, I think you start to see a drop-off, in my opinion, in the media coverage and the quality of it.
Well, a chance you're seeing tornadoes clear down the southeast part of the country now.
Oh, you are.
All over the place.
And they're getting better. They have some great folks down there. And, I mean, James Spann out of the Birmingham area is fantastic. But, you know, when I look at what you do here at KNSS and you know, some of your rival stations and some of them up north, and also our television broadcasters, you guys are just fantastic, and I'm in awe. And I tell the people when I go out and speak to them how lucky and fortunate they are to get firsthand information from your spotters as to what they're seeing and what they can expect. That is the best information a person could have because it gives them credibility. I can say Doppler radar indicated till I'm blue in the face, but if you say one of your spotters, you know, say John Doe's reporting golf ball-sized tail 2 miles southwest of the airport and it's moving that direction, everybody in southwest Wichita, west Wichita, is saying they've experienced it, they've seen it, I'm going to shelter.
Okay, I want to move on because there's a little more to cover here today.
You bet.
I want to talk a little bit about the threat of what we call straight-line wind because that's been more dangerous to me when I've been out the past couple of years.
Well, sure, because it happens a significant amount of times.
That's not a tornado. It's not a twister, but bang,
no,
there it is.
It's just like a wall of wind.
Yeah.
You know, almost like a tidal wave of wind coming through with a storm. You know, when you think about storms, they have what we call an updraft and a downdraft. The updraft is like us inhaling, and the downdraft is us exhaling.
Yeah.
And so when you go to the doctor and they tell you to breathe out and they tell you to breathe harder, well, that's kind of like what the storm is doing. And it has the capability sometimes, depending on the energy in the atmosphere, to exhale stronger. And that's where we get those strong straight-line winds.
You get that straight-line wind up to 50, 60 miles an hour.
Oh,
and it goes higher than that sometimes.
Oh, much, yeah.
It can blow over everything.
Yeah, we had a storm system over near Santa Fe Lake last year, between 90 and 100 miles an hour. So if you get one of those elongated clouds that spans the whole sky, looks scary.
You can see them coming sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And as you're watching that approach, you just start thinking mentally, hey, that's going to be so strong straight-line winds. I need to get the trash cans up. I probably need to get the car in the garage. And I need to batten down the hatch.
And I have seen in Wichita, I mean, we're in the south central Kansas, I've seen those things come in from various different directions. They don't just come up from the southwest.
No, no.
They come back doors, whatever. You know?
Yeah, a lot of times they come in from the northwest.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit different system. When the storms that go southwest and northeast are more supercellular in nature, meaning larger hail, more tornadoes, and they're singular storms. These others are a whole line of storms, and they'll come from all different directions.
Tell us about lightning, the dangers of lightning.
Lightning concerns me more so than tornadoes. People respect tornadoes. They go to shelter when those warnings are issued. Lightning happens with every single thunderstorm. Lightning causes thunder. So therefore, if you are outdoors at any point in time that thunder is occurring, you have the ability to be struck by lightning. And that concerns me because we push the limits. You know, I've been there. I love to fish. You know, I love to play golf, and I don't want to get off the water, off the golf course, or if folks are out gardening or out running, they don't want to give that up, or they get caught out there. But as soon as they hear that thunder, they're at risk, and it really concerns
you
me.
You know, and what we've seen the past year or two is that major sporting events will stop.
Yes.
For lightning.
And I encourage them to continue doing that.
It's a pain for us who are watching them or whatever.
Right,
but
it is.
There you go.
You know, because you get cram-packed in some of those small areas at the stadium, but, you know, ultimately it's about safety. The odds are very slim, but the odds are there. And it just takes one time. You know, unfortunately, we did have a few folks struck by lightning out on the turnpike last year.
You know, I had an uncle I never met because he died in 1935. He was 16 and he was riding a tractor. Mm-hmm. He was hit by lightning. So I've seen that in my own family.
Yeah.
Flooding. Turn around. Don't drown. We always say that.
Love to hear it. Thank you. You know, one of the things I'm saying, not only
I was
going to
step in the bathtub the other day, I thought, I'm going to turn around.
Let's hope not.
But it is dangerous.
Oh it is.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the new things I'm throwing out there is go, no go. Just if you got water covering the road and it's moving rapidly, just turn around and go a different way.
Yeah.
You know, you got to say, well, do I go or do I not go? Do I take a risk or do I not take a risk? And I see people drive through it. I remember when the Cowskin Creek used to flood quite frequently.
Oh, yeah.
And I would stand there at the barricades and watch people drive around the barricades through the creek. And I just was like, you're taking your life in your own hands. And there'll be parents with the kids driving through it. And I'm like, why? People don't understand the power of water.
You know, one of the things we do, of course, in our weather coverage on the radio is we talk about watches and warnings.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people think, well, that's a little confusion. Warning, that is a short-term deal.
Yes, it's imminent.
It's coming. It's
going to
be there.
It's going to happen within the next 1 minute to however long that warning's in effect.
Let's say you have a severe thunderstorm watch that goes for 15 counties for 8 or 9 hours. So that it can come up any time during the
watch.
That is correct.
And basically, we kind of take a ready, set, go mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, ready is we'll issue the outlook. You'll start talking about it with the forecast in the morning. Say, hey, folks, you know, the weather service and the local media has gotten with us, and there's possible storms later today. That's the ready part. That's the set. Is when the watch comes out. And all we're telling folks to do, watch the skies, watch your phone, listen to the radio, watch the television, just to get prepared. And then the warning means take action. And what's nice in today's society, we all have these fancy phones.
Yeah, that don't do anything.
And if you have weather apps on your phone, you're going to have the ability to get the warning to your specific location, not just county-based, to your location, and if you're in that warning box and you get the alert, you need to take action immediately.
Something we see from time to time is we will get, they will start talking about it from the weather service 8, 9, a day out, 2 days out.
Yes.
You'll see a model and say, there's going to be a good chance here Thursday night.
Absolutely.
Something's going to happen.
We're getting a lot more accurate. You know,
very sophisticated.
Winter's a little bit more difficult, but when we get into the severe storms, you know, we can see it 4 and 5. Now, do we want to overhype it? No. But we do start mentioning
it. I don't want to talk about winter storms for just a second.
Sure.
I think you're the one who told me, maybe it was somebody else, said, when you go to forecast snowfall, that's the biggest roll of the dice there is. That's tough.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
It is. You know, because we're looking at thermal profiles or temperature profiles all the way through the atmosphere. And if you get a warm pocket, say 100, 200 feet, that right there can completely alter everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes you miss it. It's very difficult.
Chance, we've been doing this for several years. You've been around Wichita for a while.
Yep.
What's the most satisfying part of your job?
Working with the public.
I was going to say, he's a government employee. He doesn't like any of it.
Yeah.
No. Working with the public.
Working with the public is probably the most satisfying, and with partners like yourself, because I get satisfaction every year when we talk about the number of fatalities and injuries due to hazardous weather. And when those numbers are low, that tells me that we are all doing our jobs and we're helping people, and that's where I get my satisfaction.
What's the biggest challenge for you? Dealing with the
getting
media.
Rid of complacency.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because we still find a lot of complacency. You know, the sirens are going off all the time,
serious.
Or you issue all these tornado warnings and nothing happens. Well, something may have happened 2 or 3 miles away, but just because it didn't affect them, they become complacent. And so that's one of the more challenging things for me is to try and remove that.
And listen, thanks for spending some time with us. I'm sure we'll talk again in a few months, as we always do. And be ready for the storm season coming up just around the corner right here in all of South Central Kansas. And our guest again, Chance Hayes, Warning Coordination Meteorologist, National Weather Service in Wichita. That's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Again, Chance, thanks for being with us. Always enjoy our talks together.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for listening, you all. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.